sponsored by Overcast, an independent podcast app that embraces the open world of podcasting instead of locking it down.
No exclusives, no premium content, no paywalls. Just a great podcast app for everyone.
Get it for free in the App Store. Oh, hello.
Hello, hello, hello.
Hello, hello. How are you today?
I'm alive. I got worms in my brain.
Ooh.
They're taking over my body.
Whoa. You're going to just be all worms like that guy in that Buffy episode.
Yeah.
You remember? He was just worms.
He was worms. That's me. I feel like that's also a Goosebumps.
That's also a Goosebumps. Is that a trope, worm guy?
If it's not, we gotta fucking make it be.
Wait, you should change all your handles to Worm Guy.
I want to now. I'm gonna see if it's free on Twitter after this.
All right. I won't do Worm Guy.
Yeah, I won't do it now because I can't take away
from the moment.
The podcast.
Oh my God, we're doing a podcast?
Yeah, Wisteria Gaze.
A podcast where we watch and discuss every episode of Desperate Housewives, one at a time. Yeah. Spoiler free.
Spoiler free.
And are we gay?
We might be.
Holy shit. Oh, no. I got to take care of some stuff. I got to get rid of my kids.
I got to get a divorce.
That made me laugh so hard. Welcome to our podcast, everybody. Oh, I'm Mackenzie.
I'm Liz.
We're getting great. We're getting better at actually remembering. You're the yes. only one who's remembering to introduce us.
Hey, it's Thank the God. Worms in my brain.
Thank God for you.
I was going to just say something, but I completely forgot. Oh, I was going to say congratulations. I heard Desperate Housewives is on Disney Plus now.
I think so. I don't know. I'm still watching it on Hulu, so yes. I hope that it stays on Hulu. But I know a lot of people are now diving back into their Desperate Housewives binge because it's on Disney Plus, which is just exhilarating. So congrats, everybody. If you're here watching because of Disney Plus,
yes.
welcome.
Hell yeah. Yeah, it's coming to Disney Plus.
Oh.
But that doesn't mean they're going to take it off of Hulu.
I hope not. Thank God.
Yeah.
We also have a little announcement before we dive in.
I'd love to hear it.
Oh, thank you. I was just staring at you.
I'm acting as the listener.
Oh, okay. Thank you, listener.
What's it going to be?
If you are not only a fan of Desperate Housewives, but also a fan of Hannah Montana, our dear, dear friend and listener, Tom, does a podcast called Sweet Niblets, a Hannah yes. Montana rewatch podcast, and we are going to be guesting on it this Friday, crossover event of the century.
Multiple centuries, because we're going to be talking about That's So Sweet Life of Hannah Montana.
Yes, the epic crossover of the Disney Channel.
The Disney Cinematic Universe.
I'm super excited to talk about it. And by this Friday, I mean February 26th. So if you listen to it after the fact, it's already live.
Yeah.
So go listen to it. And just go follow our friends over at Sweet Niblets. They got a great podcast and we're excited to be a part of it.
Yeah, I'm super pumped.
I'm excited. I haven't watched a Hannah Montana, A Sweet Life, or A Raven in years.
I watched a lot of That So Raven early last
That's Raven
year.
Is
I was
amazing,
yeah. I was doing a little binge. Yeah.
God, I can't wait to get back into it. I can't believe I'm gonna binge That So Raven though.
It's a great show.
It's great. Do you want to dive into the sody?
I guess.
What's wrong?
I'm going through puberty.
Well, it's really, I know swimming sucks when you're, you know, going through puberty, but
yeah.
I'm here beside you.
Thanks.
Oh.
I'm well, moody.
You are, you're a moody teen. Well, guess what, my moody son. This episode premiered January 15th. So we jumped from December to January. We had a little mid-season break for a month, and now we're back. And now, Happy New Year. We're in 2006, baby.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. It was written by Alexandra Cunningham and directed by David Grossman. This is, as I'm sure you noticed, the first time the full opening credits have been played in five
yes.
episodes.
I wrote that down in my notes. Yep. I went, oh, we're getting a little treat today.
Yeah, that's part of my trivia this week, is that we finally got the full credits.
Yes.
For Sondheim Watch, We're Gonna Be All Right is from the musical Do I Hear a Waltz, which Sondheim did the lyrics to. And this is very funny to me. Wisteria International. Every other country, the title, We're Gonna Be All Right, translated to Everything's Gonna Be All Right.
Oh.
Every country except for France.
Oh.
always, Frances always being weird, I think, with these titles. And Frances' title is Medically Yours.
I feel like I tried to make a noise, but nothing came out. It just got stuck in my throat.
I think that is so funny. Mm-hmm. I think that's very funny. I just love, I'm going to sign my next Valentine's card to you.
Medically yours.
Mackenzie. XOXO Gossip Girl. We open
on Jim Halvorson from The Office, US, not UK.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I knew that name sounded familiar. That actor is in Grey's Anatomy as well. And I like him in Grey's Anatomy. Don't love him here because we're learning from Mary Alice that Jim Halvorson here has little to offer women.
Yeah.
And God, is that correct? Because Susan is meeting him for a blind date.
Yes.
He opens up with really bad lines, asking her about her age.
He does, and this is a line from the show, racial humor. He just does a racist little joke.
Yeah, when Mary Alice was listing his things, racial humor being one of them was wild, as well as jokes about Nazis and rectums,
because he tried to do like something cutting edge, and then I guess he tried to apologize. There was the funny moment though, speaking of rectums, when he asked, he was like, do you know what a rectum is? And Susan just started choking.
Me. that was funny. This was the secondhand embarrassment I got watching this scene was through the roof. This was so bad, and it gets even worse. The worst date in history becomes worse because I think that someone drops something, they both reach to get it and just slam heads,
and they switch bodies.
And then it's Freaky Friday.
Yeah.
I would have liked that episode. Not that, that I don't think I disliked this episode, but I would have loved it if Susan switched bodies with Jim Halvorson.
Yes.
Oh. But after that headbutting accident, they go to the hospital and they meet Dr. Ron.
Yes. He's sexy, according to Susan.
No offense to any Rons out there. I cannot imagine, like Ron isn't a particularly sexy name. And maybe that's because it's my grandpa's name.
Well, what if we change his name? What if we call him Dr. Rod? Then it's sexy.
Rod? Because like Rod Stewart is sexy?
No, but it's like sexy because he's hot. And he's like, hey, Susan, I got a hot rod
for
you.
Rod, and it's me and my little tight bod.
Yeah.
Sure. Dr. Rod. Basically, he's checking out Jim. Susan does a weird little bit where she pulls him aside and is like, please admit me into this hospital so I can get out of this date.
Yes.
And Dr. Rod is like, Dr. Hot Rod is like, I can't do that. I'm a doctor. I have morals.
Yeah.
And then he goes over and hears Jim make one joke and admits Jim instead.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Hot Rod. What a king.
What a king.
He's pretty cute.
Yeah.
He's charming.
There was also a moment where when he admitted Jim, he looks at Susan and he winks and catches that moment.
Yeah. And as Mary Alice said, the joke's on him.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if we ever will see Jim again. I bet we won't.
No.
Damn. He had to go be on Grey's Anatomy.
Yeah.
He had to go to the other ABC show.
Yeah. And then we get the full opening credits.
Thank God.
And after the credits, we are at the annual blood drive.
Okay.
Usually everybody comes to the blood drive for health and well-being and to promote it. But the women are here because
They're all hanging.
They're discussing the Apple Whites. I really liked Mary Alice's just small line read here where she called them her friends because I feel like she doesn't...
I start crying.
Truly. She doesn't do that a lot.
No.
Where she goes, these are, like, my friends were here for a different reason.
They are her friends. Oh, that's so sweet. And they're eyeing the Applewhites. And I the thing is, maybe it's because I just love Alfre Woodard. I think Betty seems so sweet. Mm-hmm. And it makes me sad that, like, she's waving and trying to be nice and all the women are just, like, staring at her.
But she does kind of have ulterior motives to waving and being nice.
Maybe, but she's still my queen.
This is the first episode we've seen of season 2, and I don't know why they're being so mean to her.
The women talk. I thought it was a pretty funny exchange with Edie and Lynette. Can you even put that in the episode? It was very funny.
Yeah.
I don't trust friendly women.
That's okay. They don't trust you either.
And at the end, Susan mentions the police are withholding information about the body found, which makes sense that the police would not be just giving random people information. Gabby suggests that Bree ask detective name who I can't remember.
Yeah, detective guy.
Barton?
Yes.
How did I pull that out of nowhere? I'll never know.
I don't know either.
Susan wants a little background checky.
Yes, they want a little background checky. Betty then comes over to them and starts talking to Susan and is like, why don't we go out for your birthday coming up soon?
Are we going to get a birthday episode?
I hope.
Another reprisal of New York, New York. They go to the karaoke bar.
Yes, that's the only place anybody could have a birthday. Yes. Mysteria Lane. But Susan kind of declines.
After that, Betty and Matthew are kind of like, okay, bye. And they start talking about how they got to get out of town. They got to get out of Dodge. And Betty is correct in saying there's a lot of money tied to that house. And if we left in the middle of the night, we'd have no money and everyone would suspect us.
Yeah. So she doesn't want to move. Because I think even if she tried to sell the house right now, she thinks it would be a little too suspicious.
Yeah, and she mentions that if they do, then they have to think of a good excuse or a reason. So it looks like maybe they were pulled away as opposed to just leaving and running away.
Yeah. And then still at the blood drive, we go to Zach. He's handing in his form to give blood. And the woman looks and goes, oh, AB positive, which you don't mark your blood type on a form to give blood.
Sometimes if you know it, you do.
Well, I guess.
I don't know my blood type, but I know that like if you do know, they ask, like, do you know your blood type? And if not, they'll tell it to you. But
okay. I guess like I used to give blood a lot in high school and college, mostly to get out of classes, but also because you should give blood if you can.
Yeah.
And I just found out my blood type once because they told me what it was, and then I never, in all of the forms, filled it out because they just knew.
Type?
O negative.
Is that? Oh, that's cool.
I'm the universal donor.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, but I can only receive O negative blood.
Oh, that's fucked.
Yeah. So if anybody wants to steal my identity, you now know I have O negative blood.
I'm writing that down.
But Zach has an even rarer blood type, which is AB negative. And that's what the nurse says to him.
Yes. And she's like, wow, must be something in the water because mm-hmm. somebody else has AB negative as well.
Only one other person. And it's that guy right there.
Mr. Delfino.
Mr. Mike Delfino.
Funny enough, on the Wikia, someone like definitely went on a rant about how that's not necessarily how blood type works genetically. And I was like, huh. And I Googled it. And guess what? It is.
Yeah, I thought it was
for AB negative apparently. Like specifically if the parent, so like let's say the mom, like clearly Mike has AB negative, the mom, if she has A or B or AB negative, then like that's what gets Zach his. This is unimportant and uninteresting.
No,
but
I think I disagree with you. I think it is interesting.
Yeah, but someone on the Wikia was trying to correct them in the episode, and I did a little bit of research, and that is pretty much how that would work.
Yeah.
Interesting. Do you think that Zach is putting it together already? Because he gave Mike a look, but then we didn't see them for the rest of the episode, right?
No.
Well, we saw
no.
Mike a little bit.
Yeah, we saw Mike a little bit. I think that was probably the start of Zach thinking something's up.
Yes. But first we have to cut to Bree salting the snails off her plants.
That's so funny to me.
It was weird.
Betty walks up to Bree. We got a little B&B team.
B&B.
And Betty's like, my mama is sick.
Oh, whoopsies.
In Chicago, and we may need to leave, Bree. I just wanted you to know that.
No reason at all. Bree is very sweet, I think, in this moment, and reaches out and is like, let me know if you need anything at all.
Mm-hmm.
But as soon as Betty walks away, Bree is like, this bitch.
Yeah.
That's all we get from that scene so far.
That truly is. I thought it was kind of weird, to be honest.
I mean, it didn't make me good. Because I feel like Betty is trying to pepper in, like, trying to start spreading, maybe.
Yeah.
The rumor of why she would be leaving town, right? So if she bails, Bree could be like, oh, well, her mom is sick. That's why she did it. But yeah. Betty doesn't know that they all are pretty much have her number and like aren't gonna believe her. And maybe it would have made more sense if they had showed Betty telling other women.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I think maybe at the blood drive it would have made sense, but yeah. Then I think they can't have the Betty and Matthew are talking about possibly leaving,
yes,
and this at the same exact time.
Yeah. So who knows? It was a little scene, but I think it was also what Bree needed, suspicion wise, to push her to contact Detective Barton, which we'll see later. Because first we got to see the Meyer girls.
Yes, we have to see Susan ripping off a Band-Aid.
Horrifyingly.
Truly, there was a huge noise. It was like,
she ripped her skin off.
Yeah. Oh, I guess I got to go back to the hospital.
Oh, whoopsie.
But Julie's here.
Queen.
Queen Julie. And she tells her mother that she needs to see the doctor for a follow-up. She meaning Susan,
mm-hmm,
not Julie.
Yes.
And Susan really wants to go back because she thinks the doctor's cute, but she can't flirt with him or ask him out because he's so much younger than her.
The thing is, I don't think they can have that much of an age difference.
No.
Only because I'm watching a lot of Grey's Anatomy lately. And by the time he's at the level he's at, right? He's probably like a resident, let's mm-hmm say. He's in his 30s. She's 38. He's probably 31. That's,
yeah,
not that big of a difference.
Because she uses this weird, like, analogy where she was like, if I was a high school senior, he'd be a fifth grader. Which, that's
like 6-7 years, right? Maybe.
Oh, I guess, yeah.
But still, that would pit him at like 31.
Yeah.
He's a grown adult with a developed brain. Like, mm-hmm, she could go out with him. Be a cougar, Susan.
Be a MILF.
Be a MILF. Be the MILF we know you are.
And that's essentially that scene. It's a lot of Susan just saying, he's too young for me.
Whatever.
I shouldn't.
But I will. Because then we cut to Lynette racing home. Tom is freaking out, and we find out that the babies have chicken pox. And Tom's never had it.
Mm-hmm. So he says, Lynette, you got to take care of the kids.
I'm freaking out. Also, she was like, stop being such a baby. Isn't it like, if you get it as an adult, can't it be like deadly?
Yeah, it turns into shingles, I believe, when you're an adult.
So her being like, nothing's going to happen to you, he could genuinely get very ill.
Yeah.
I've never had chicken pox before. What if I get shingles and die one day? Will you continue the podcast without me?
Do you want me to? Is this a trick question?
Yeah. No, I want you to.
Okay, then I will.
When I die of shingles from chicken pox.
Yes, because I gave them to you.
Because you gave them to me. I want you to continue the podcast.
Okay, should I get a new host or just solo?
Just solo.
Okay, it'll just be my Desperate Housewives stand-up podcast.
Yeah, exactly. But I just, yeah, so I don't know. I identified with Tom in this moment. So
yeah.
I was like, Lynette, just go take care of the kid. Just help him. Just help him a little bit.
But she really doesn't want to. So the way he convinces her to take over and watch the kids for a few days is like, you know how I am when I'm sick. Do you remember when I had strep? We had to go to marriage counseling. So do it for me, Lynette. Do it for us.
Do it for us. And that's all we get, because then we cut to Gabby just chilling on the porch.
Yeah.
And we see Ralph, the gardener.
This is such a weird blip.
Oh,
but
weird.
I mean,
weird,
like, it's weird. It starts off weird, but I guess it goes somewhere.
I didn't realize where it was going at first. So for like 2 minutes, I felt like I was just confused.
I thought it was going to be another weird affair thing. Like,
oh, like he wants to have an affair with her.
Yeah. But what we're talking about is Ralph walks up to Gabby and is like, hey, Mrs. Solis, I need to talk to you. My wife left me recently because I like to look at women on the internet, mostly without clothes, but they're very
classy.
Only
go to the classy
sites. They're decadent
sites.
Pictures,
they're
all right?
Decadent.
And I just wanted to let you know, on one of the very classy high-end websites I go to, I found this picture. And he hands her a printed out photo of her. We don't get to see it, but it's described as her
Rip.
Wearing an elf hat on a bearskin rug.
Look, I'm not saying I want to see it, but I want to see it.
I mean, we kind of see a portion of it later.
I wish we could have seen
and
it.
And we can computer enhance
Let's computer enhance and see Gabby's lewd photos.
Yes.
Gabby is obviously kind of horrified. He asks her to autograph it.
Yeah. I was very concerned. I was like, did John put these pictures up on the internet?
No, I don't think he. Well, we know he didn't.
Yeah, we know he didn't at this point, but while I was watching the show, I was very confused.
I wonder what Jesse Metcalf was doing, because they really got rid of John and just don't fucking mention him again.
Is he ever going to show up again?
Spoiler alert, he will.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think season 5, maybe.
Oh my god, it's because they're endgame and he'll be in his 20s and then they get married.
They're fucking endgame. Archie, we're endgame. That's me peppering our Riverdale podcast we'll one day do. That's all we get, though. Clearly, this is going to be Gabby's plot for the episode. But first, we've got to cut to Noah, who we haven't seen in a while.
Yes.
If anyone needs a little bit of a reminder, he's the dad of... He's definitely Zach's granddad, because he is the father of the man who Mike... The man.
The man.
The woman who Mike was in love with, who was the mother of...
Zach.
And Mike's there visiting. Noah wants all the info from the season one finale. They waited a really long time to wrap this up.
Yeah.
We're like 12 episodes in and they're just now getting back to Noah.
I like needed a refresher because I could not remember his name this whole episode. Because it's been so long.
Mike kind of does a half lie. Because it took me a moment because he said it was a guy named Todd Forrest. And I was like, oh, fake name. But no, that must be Paul's old name. Because Angela Forrest was Mary Alice's name. So Todd Forrest must have been Paul's name before him and Mary Alice changed their names.
Oh, that's actually really good, like, storytelling.
I did not pick that up. It hit me late because he was like, it was a guy named Todd Forrest. I killed him. So he lied about having killed Todd Forrest. But I mean, Todd Forrest is dead. Paul Young is he's alive, right?
That's really cool.
I connected the dots when I was like, Forrest. Oh, fuck. That's their old name. And also... Paul is named Todd?
Todd.
He's a Todd.
Hey, Todd. What's up, bro?
He looks more like a Paul.
Yeah.
I would agree. I like the new name, Todd. Yeah. But yeah, that was a little... I thought it was interesting that Mike sort of did a half lie. Because Todd Forrest isn't alive technically anymore. So if Noah was to look it up, he wouldn't find anybody.
Question we don't have to get into now. Uh-huh. But do you think Paul has other family? And, like, he had to change his whole name and
his
stuff.
Whole life. And same with Mary Alice. Yeah. Like, did they not have... Maybe they just cut everyone off.
I guess.
They had to, probably. Weird.
Anyway, after that...
No, I think the only thing that happens, really, in this scene is Noah does a weird moment where his nurse is having issues sticking him. So he stabs her with a needle and is like, you're fired.
Yeah.
Which is weird, but it gives us an excuse to have a new nurse in the end.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And then we cut to Lynette, Tom, and Carlos, and I was so worried it was going to be a weird, like, Carlos, hey, Lynette, why don't we make this a three-way?
Yeah, I genuinely thought that was what was going to happen.
But
I was terrified.
Not mentioned.
Thank God.
I'm so sorry to interrupt
No,
you.
Interrupt me all day, every day, every moment of my life, King, please. Get in here.
But what they talk about instead of the weird affair thing is... Carlos says, well, it's a good thing you don't have chicken pox because they can render you sterile.
Yeah.
And Lynette is like, I'm not worried about that because we're not going to have more kids.
Mm-hmm. I'm interested because I think that I'm interested. Where do you land on this fight? Because I don't know. I think I know where I land. The fight that kind of takes us through the whole episode with the two of them.
And I mean, we can talk about the fight right now because they do talk about it.
Yeah, I was curious where you landed on it. Because like Lynette is like offended that he would think about a life if she didn't exist,
yes.
Right? Like, and I just thought that was, I don't know, I thought it was a little like overreactive because I feel like in a lot of senses, when I think of couples who are like, yeah, if I died tomorrow, I would want Rachel to find somebody else.
Yeah.
I would want my partner to one day be and have a family with another person. And I think I would feel that way no matter, like, I just feel like to expect someone to grieve you until they die isn't realistic. And I kind of was not happy with Lynette trying to sort of dictate what Tom could do with his body. It just felt like if that's something that he needs, something that he wants, something that's not hurting anybody, it's just his body. Mm-hmm. I just felt like it was, I didn't really like Lynette trying to kind of tell him what to do with his own body this episode.
I mean, I agree. Like, you can't expect somebody to just, like, grieve you forever. Like you, yeah. like you, you, if you truly want what's best for a person, you need to understand that like what is best for a person is to eventually like move on. And like,
yeah,
there will always be like a part of themselves that like probably still loves the other person. Yeah. If they've passed.
Yes. No. And I think that like Tom even was like, I'm not actively thinking about another family, which I believe, but I feel like Lynette didn't even really let him explain himself. She just sort of was reacting.
Yeah.
And he was just trying to be like, I'm not trying to have another family. Like this is my family. But like if something ever happened ever, like, yeah, it makes sense that he might want another child with another person. Yeah. I don't know. She was very, I didn't like Lynette with this.
She was acting like he was coming up to her and being like, okay, so if you die, I am going to marry Froman down the street. We've already discussed this multiple times.
We're going to have 3 kids at least.
Yes. So you just need to get fucking used to it, Lynette.
Yeah, I don't know. I felt like I was very confused by how reactionary Lynette was being. And I love Lynette. I should say this. I just didn't, this episode felt really weird for me, for her.
Yeah, I wasn't super into the Lynette Tom storyline this episode.
Yeah.
Just because it was just a lot of what we just talked about.
Yeah. But we cut away from that. And we cut to lunch with Detective Barton.
We do.
And also, he's wondering if this is a date.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew, remember I told you, I knew I got romantic vibes from him like forever ago. And I was like, wow, they're never going to pick that up. And they did.
They did. I'm shocked.
I am also shocked. But she kind of turns him down. She's like, no, this isn't a date. And he seems okay with it at first-ish.
And she asks him to look into the Apple Whites. He says, I can't look into people just because they're weird.
Yes.
And when she goes to leave, he goes, hey, why don't I give you a ride home? You've been drinking. And she's like, no, I'm perfectly capable. I'm perfectly fine. I'm sober. I've only had 3 glasses of wine and a dessert glass. Like, what do you want from me? Dessert glasses don't even count.
I just am like, girl, you sent this to a cop who watched you drink. I don't know. What did she think she was going to get away with this?
I think like she shouldn't have done that. But also the cop should have been like, I am going to arrest you if I see you like
driving
drive.
And drinking.
Like, I think both of them, you know, should have done something else.
Yes. And before she kind of gets angry and storms out. And I should say we also get a little outlayer of in between the dinners, the lunch of Susan getting her follow-up exam, and the nurse is talking to her about how Dr. Ron's really busy, and unless something's really wrong, he's not gonna come. And Susan's like, I'm really sick. And Dr. Ron is appalled by all of her symptoms and wants to give her an MRI.
She's going to have so many fucking medical bills.
Just to ask this guy on a date.
Yes.
That's wild.
Yes.
Susan, that's wild. But before we see the end of that, then we cut back to Bree driving. She's swerving a little bit. Detective Barton obviously is directly behind her and pulls her over. How did she not think this was going to happen?
He's
literally
know.
A cop. Oh, yeah. So she, you know, is offended that he would assume she's drinking and driving. And he's like, I'm physically watching you drink and drive, so I'm arresting you.
Mm-hmm.
That's basically that scene. The people in the background on the sidewalk, that's us.
Yes.
That made me laugh really hard. These people just on the sidewalk watching them talk. I loved that.
And then we go to Gabby and Carlos. They're talking about the picture.
Mm-hmm.
Gabby reveals that it was probably her ex, Scott, who she left to be with Carlos.
Oh.
And because she was like one of his models.
Yes.
So she wants Carlos to go beat up Scott. And so he can get the pictures taken down and like get whatever copies he has. And Carlos says, no. I'm a changed man, Gabby. I don't beat people up now. I'm just getting my rage under control.
Yeah, he's like, I don't want to be a brute anymore. And I actually kind of like that. I was like, I like chill Carlos.
Oh, one thing I want to backtrack for half a second.
What's
real
up?
Quick. because when Gabby is building up the picture to show him, we can clearly see like her in a little hat, like looking over her shoulder behind her. And that's what I'm saying, like computer enhanced.
Computer
we get that
enhanced.
Lesbian of the episode. I'm throwing it in the bucket.
Gabby in that photo specifically?
Yeah.
All right, why not?
Carlos is genuinely like, I don't want to beat a man up for this.
Yeah, he's valid, I guess.
I mean, I have altering viewpoints because mm-hmm. this man posted nude photos of Gabby on the internet.
Yeah, without her consent.
Without her consent.
Well, she said, because he was like, can we just call our lawyers? And she's like, I gave them to him. They're a gift.
That's still...
Yeah.
I mean, now it's illegal, technically.
Yes.
Revenge porn, it would fall under, even if it wasn't posted like for revenge.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't ask the consent to post those, even if they were a gift.
Yeah. But that's all we get for that scene, because then we cut to, I wrote, at the hospital, Susan's body?
Yes.
Can I nominate her abs and like her V and her belly button ring, the triad of those things,
yes,
as lesbian of the episode?
Yes.
Thank you.
You thrown that abs with Lynette's biceps. We're building a person.
We're building
a lesbian.
We're building the perfect lesbian. Okay. This is our Frankenstein origin story.
Lynette's
but did you
biceps.
See her body?
I did.
She has like the muscly ab V.
Mm-hmm.
Terry Hatcher.
That's what you need when you're a comedy queen.
I am looking. It's from all that time she had to throw herself back. She built those abs up. I was just like fully looking.
Yeah.
Fully looking. I was this tech.
I was just going to say, yeah. Because the tech's watching her fiddle with this like piece of paper-esque gown thing.
Yeah.
And Dr. Ron comes in and is like, why are you letting her
do
fiddle
that
with the mat cover for the MRI machine? I thought that was kind of gross, though, that this man was just watching her fiddle around with that
for... It was very gross.
5 minutes?
Yeah, it was pretty gross. And Dr. Ron immediately is like, you don't have to be undressed for this. Put your clothes back on.
Yeah. And she does. She goes into the MRI machine. And she starts talking and trying to ask Dr. Ron out on a date. And then the tech goes, he left 5 minutes ago. He's talking to his girlfriend.
Susan shot her shot and she's going to be stuck with a bunch of medical bills and mm-hmm. no date.
Also, this is an unrealistic representation of what getting an MRI is like.
Oh my gosh, that was all over the IMDb trivia.
Really?
Someone was like... The underwire bra that Susan is wearing, she would have been propelled upward because she's wearing an underwire bra. Yeah, there's someone on the IMDb trivia for this episode specifically that was like basically talking about how the amount of metal that Susan had in that room like would have just completely fucked the MRI machine up.
Not only that, but like she wouldn't be able to like talk while it was happening because she has to stay still. Also, it's very loud.
She was moving so much.
I've gotten an MRI once. And the techs were like, we can play music for you and stuff. And I said, sure, play some Radio Disney for me. And I could not hear it because it was like a jackhammer.
That's the plot of Zoe's Extraordinary Playlist.
Really?
Yeah, it's about a girl who gets an MRI and then like an earthquake happens while the music is playing. And like, that's why she hears musical numbers now, because like, some fuckery happened because the music was playing while she was getting an MRI.
Jesus.
I think you would like that show, weirdly. Yeah.
I know Alex Newell's in it.
Alex Newell's great in it. It's a pretty cute show.
Okay.
And this is beginning our Zoe's Extraordinary Playlist rewatch podcast, but that's for later because now we go to the Solis house. Carlos is getting the paper. Luis and Ralph are working. I feel like we haven't gotten Luis's name until this episode.
No.
Luis feels new. Like, Ralph's been around, but Luis is new.
I feel like we didn't even get his name until, like, the end of the scene.
Yeah. And Gabby begins to do her little yoga, and she's doing it nude on the porch.
Because she says to Carlos, you know what? You were right. You know, we'll just keep up the pictures. I'm going to do my yoga. And she derobes and she's naked.
The way she has to, the thing she does to get him to do what she wants. You know, Carlos storms out. They begin to fight. Ralph and Luis are looking. And Ralph cuts Luis's fingers off.
Yes, I gasped.
They kept leaning and the fucking thing was on. And I was like, Ralph, turn it off. But no.
We could have got a Grey's Anatomy crossover with that.
I literally wrote that in my notes.
Oh my God.
I literally wrote, I was like, this is airing the same time as Grey's Anatomy. Where's the crossover?
Yeah.
Can you imagine? That would have been amazing.
Yeah.
But that's the end of the scene. And then we cut back to the Scavo house. And we've already sort of talked about this fight. So we don't have to get into it again. But it's basically the continuation of Lynette being angry with Tom about that. And it kind of climaxes in her demanding he get a vasectomy.
Yeah.
And yeah, my feelings remain. This was a moment. This is more specifically where I was like, you can't tell. I don't know.
You can't force somebody to do
something to their body like that.
Yeah.
Unless it is like medically needed. You know what I mean? Like there are times I agree where it is like medically you need your tubes tied or a vasectomy or like something, you know, but like it's not for any reason, but you're being selfish about him. I don't know. So that's basically the whole scene. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, that's truly it. She just wants him to get a vasectomy. He reluctantly
agrees.
He says, I'll make an appointment. And then we cut to Bree in jail.
I want to nominate the woman that's in there with her for lesbian the episode.
I agree. Let's chuck her in there.
I just thought she was fun. I thought she was kind of into Bree, maybe.
Yeah.
I loved her, so I wanted to nominate her for lesbian the episode.
Oh, there was a moment in the last scene. There was a moment where Lynette and Tom are talking, and Lynette has a line that says, married people are supposed to go out of their way to calm each other's irrational fears. So get a vasectomy and calm mine.
Yes. And that will come back later.
Yes. I just wanted to say that.
No, thank you. Thank you for being thorough, Kim.
Yes.
And then we come back to Bree and a lesbian in jail. It's just like a funny, weird little scene between the two of them until we find out that Bree's bail has been cleared, but she can't get her car back until tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
So she has to walk home.
And we see Bree walking home. Betty's in her car, also sees her and stops and goes,
honk, honk.
Do you need a ride? Get in, loser.
We're going to Wisteria Lane.
And I really thought this scene was going to be like Betty getting Bree on her side.
Me too.
But it wasn't that.
Ooh,
oh,
no.
Oh, boy, was it not that.
Quite the opposite.
They start talking about Bree and her relationship with alcohol.
Yeah, and Betty is sort of, I think, trying to be understanding. Betty doesn't believe that she was sober, but Betty isn't, like, demonizing her for any alcoholism she may be experience.
Yeah. Yes. She's like, you've been going through a lot lately, so like I wouldn't blame you. I'd probably be doing the same thing.
She was trying to be nice.
Yeah.
And Bree took it the wrong way.
Because she's still drunk.
Bree's shit faced. She's wasted.
But they get into a fight, and Bree ends up saying when they're outside of her house that everybody thinks that they're up to something. She fucking outs it.
Oh,
she
yeah.
outs that trout.
She outs that trout. She's like, everyone thinks you're fucking weird. Everyone thinks you've killed people. Everyone thinks blah, 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 blah.
So maybe shut up about my alcoholism and slams the door and clip claps away on her heels.
Betty calls Edie at midnight and is like, I'm moving tomorrow.
Yeah.
The next morning, Dr. Ron arrives at the Meyer house. And he's like, your test results are back. And I'm freaking out because there's nothing wrong with you, but you're having all these symptoms. And he's so nice because he's like so racked with guilt that as a doctor, he cannot figure out what is wrong with her.
Like he drove to her house.
He felt so bad. And he is just, he's just racking his brain over this. And she tells him that she faked the symptoms so that she could see him.
Yeah, and
girl,
she's sorry because like she didn't know he had a girlfriend, and he was like, I don't have a girlfriend. I went on like a couple dates with this one girl, but that's it.
Yeah. And he's angry.
Yes.
But he also admits that he likes her.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, oh, I'm so fucking mad because I like you so much. And she's like, what's that second part?
And he's like, oh, let's go on a date Friday because I won't be mad anymore.
I thought that was kind of cute. I don't think what Susan did is right, per se. But I think Dr. Ron is cute. Mm-hmm. I think that he might be a nice little palate cleanser to help get over Mike. Though, last episode, we saw her and Mike getting kind of reconnected. So I wonder if we're going to get a little love triangle.
A wad? I wanted to say a love quadrangle because I want to get Carl in the mix.
Love wad.
A love wad.
A love wad. He also kind of tells her kind of passively that she's a wandering spleen.
Yeah.
And it's like, we'll keep an eye on it. And then drives away. What is a fucking wandering spleen? Is it literally just your spleen moves around in your body?
Yeah, your spleen's just not comfy and it keeps tossing and turning.
Yeah, your spleen's just tossing and turning at night.
Yeah.
That's horrifying, but we get episode by episode updates about Susan's spleen.
God, I hope they're pop-ups.
Did you know that Susan's spleen is in her lungs? Okie dokie. What's next?
We cut to Carlos and Gabby in the car, presumably outside of the man's workplace.
Scott?
Scott. I already forgot his name.
He doesn't matter.
And Carlos and Gabby get into another tiff because he says, I'm not going to beat him up still. I don't know why you don't get it. And she goes, I get you don't love me anymore. Like, you used to beat up men just for looking at me, and now when I need you to do this thing for me, you can't.
Yeah, I think that the thing with Gabby and Carlos, I'm trying really hard to like them as a couple because I know a lot of people do. They're just imbalanced. I think that there is a balance, right? I think that like all the violence he was doing before, maybe not necessary, but like this, not to be like go kill this man, but this is like something that would make sense for him to get angry over, to defend his wife's honor, because this is something kind of like really gross, and like it took away a lot of autonomy for her and her body. And like, I don't know. I think that he is trying to, I don't know. I think that he just maybe is on a journey of finding the balance between, you know, being protective as well as more serene.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think there definitely is like a balance that he has to figure out, because I'm not saying he should beat up a man. Like, I don't think violence is like the answer, but I think he should want to help her in getting them back. I don't think it's right for him to say, this is your problem.
Yeah.
You need to figure it out on your own.
She didn't do this on purpose.
No.
Yeah.
And so, like, she wants the pictures taken down. And she doesn't think she can do it on her own.
No.
And after they have their little tiff, Carlos kind of looks at her and goes, okay, I'm going to go in there. I'm going to talk to him. Mm-hmm. I'm going to talk to him and get him to give me the pictures back, which he could have brought up earlier. He could have just been like, I'll just talk to him.
Yeah.
You know?
He goes in. He starts talking to Scott. Scott's like, yeah, I was going to take him down anyway because they're not bringing in any money because, you know, Gabby's not really a looker. And like, how you could look at Eva Longoria and be like, she's not pretty. I don't know.
You misunderstand, because she's not internet pretty.
Eva Longoria is everything gorgeous.
Yes.
There's nothing ugly about that woman. Like, there's no way that was realistic, but whatever. That is what sends Carlos a little bit over the edge, because he keeps kind of insulting Gabby and her body and like a lot of gross shit about Gabby, and Carlos beats some ass, basically.
He throws him out the front window.
And the line reading that Gabby did, I need in the episode.
What is it?
When she went,
now that's my guy.
It was very funny to me.
It was like he took her breath away.
So romantic. Yeah. I love it. And that's all we really get, because we go back to the Scavos for a intense ending to this whole vasectomy storyline.
Mm-hmm.
Tom comes back and says he couldn't do it. He felt emasculated. He felt sad. I think Tom is just a little depressed.
I think he's depressed. He brings it up.
Yeah.
Because he says, I don't like the way being a stay-at-home dad feels. I don't like it.
Yeah. And she says, are you unhappy? And he's like, yeah, a little bit. And I think he's being really honest with her.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. It made me feel kind of sad, because genuinely, like, I thought this actor did a really good job with this scene. The guy that plays Tom. I think that Tom is just, like, depressed. I mean,
yes.
I don't know. I'm sure that being a stay-at-home dad wasn't what he imagined for his life. He was not great at his job, which is the place he thought he had a lot of control in. I understand that, like, if that's the last thing that makes him feel good... he deserves to keep that, because I think he's just sad. It made me kind of sad.
Yeah, I'm interested to see how him and Lynette are going to talk about that.
I am interested to see where it goes, because we don't get it this episode.
No, and I think, like, I'm curious to see if she'll bring up the fact that she was forced to be a stay-at-home mother.
Mm-hmm.
And she ended up liking it because she loves her children, but she loved her job and she had to quit to be a stay-at-home mom because, like, I mean, yeah. What I got from the pilot is that, yes. Like, he made her quit her yeah. job.
And I think that there's a balance, and I know that they don't love the idea of, like, sending them to school or sending them to nannies, but, like, you both can't, one person can't be completely suffering.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, you both need to be able to go do the things you want to do and still be parents.
And, like, you can have two parent, like, working households.
Yeah, absolutely. I hope that maybe that's where that ends. I hope that I, like, because I do like Tom and Lynette. I want them to communicate a little bit more healthfully.
Mm-hmm.
But I hope that we get some more of her maybe understanding Tom and maybe them finding a good middle ground between this, because I want them both to be happy.
Yeah, I agree.
But that's all we get, because then we go back to Bree bringing home some groceries.
Yeah, she got some alcohol.
Yeah, the clink, 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 clink of the glasses. And then she pulls bread out. I was like, what?
That's what I said. My note literally says, Brie bought alcohol. Oh, no, there's bread?
Yeah, it was just, it sounded like, the Foley work sounded like exclusively like it was just bottles of wine. And then she pulled bread out. It made no sense.
But she gets a phone call. It's Detective Barton. Classic. And says, hey, I felt really bad about earlier, so I ended up running a background check on the man that was found
yes.
in the trunk. And his name was Monroe. He was a PI from Chicago.
Oh. And we didn't say it earlier, but it was Betty did mention that her mother, who was sick,
yes.
is in Chicago.
She's from Chicago.
Yeah. So Bree's like,
Yeah, she's putting those dots together.
Putting them dots.
I feel like Susan's usually the one who puts the mystery together.
It's Detective Bree this time.
Me saying usually when I've only ever seen one other season.
Normally, yeah. It's Detective Bree now.
Yeah.
And we get a Mary Alice monologue wrapping up this episode about how illness takes on many forms. And physical illnesses are easy to fix, but the secret maladies in our hearts are hard to cure. And it focuses on Tom here, which is why mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, I think he's like literally depressed.
Mm-hmm.
Like, not just a sad, like, he's having a sad moment. Like, that felt to me like they were like, no, there's things that, like, he's imbalanced, chemically imbalanced. He's
yeah.
a sad guy.
They also linger on Bree for a second when they're talking about how diseases affect our judgment. And Bree's
yeah.
drinking. And I'm kind of, like, reeling. I, like, not reeling, like, angry or anything.
Mm-hmm.
Just kind of shocked. Because it feels like they're really leaning into, like, Bree's an alcoholic right now. Because we had
yes.
Andrew being like, oh, you like to knock a few back, huh? I did not. This came out of nowhere for me.
Yeah, I could see that. Without spoiling plot points, this is going to be a continuing storyline.
Oh,
a little
okay.
bit. Yes. Like, this is they're definitely doing it on purpose.
It felt like that this episode. Like,
yes.
It felt like they were building up to something more. I can't wait for the intervention.
Yes. I do agree that maybe it could have been brought in a little smoother, but this is definitely like a plot point they're trying to do this season with Bree.
Yeah.
Yeah. They also talk about secret addictions with Ralph and porn, which was weird. But to survive, we need to find someone who can heal us. Susan sees Dr. Ron. And then we get to a moment I fucking loved.
I fucking loved
this
moment.
I'm
going to
cry.
I was screaming in my notes.
We're back at Noah.
Yes.
He has a new nurse. We just see her we see like the back of her arms. I'm like shaking. I'm so excited.
We hear her voice.
We hear her voice because he's kind of monologuing a little bit.
Yeah.
About how, you know, he doesn't know why he did everything he did. He has a dead daughter and a daughter who hates him and blah 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 blah. And then he kind of is impressed. This nurse stuck him without hurting him, and he's like, whoa, you're really good. Who is it?
It's the fucking Tillmeister.
Oh,
finally
Tillmeister. I was wondering when she's gonna fucking be back.
She's like, well, I'm the perfect nurse. I think you just needed somebody who knows how to do their job.
Yeah. I am so excited that she's back.
And she's with Noah. God damn.
What a wild fucking plot twist. Can you imagine watching this live and screaming because she came back? And what an interesting twist. I'm so excited to see where it's going to go. Because, like, she's mad at Mike, right? Because Mike didn't kill Paul. So, like, is she coming for fucking
blood?
Do you think, oh, my God, what if, like, Noah hires her? What if she's like, Mike Delfino lied to you? and I'm gonna go fucking kill Paul. I don't, like, I'm saying this as someone who I do not remember exactly what happens.
I don't know if he would hire Tillmeister, but he might hire another outside source.
That'd be so, oh, I want Tillmeister to be his Iago, just slipping poison in his ear and fucking turning the screws.
I'm so glad. I hope she's in the next episode.
Oh, me too.
Because sometimes they like to give us these little treats and then we don't see anything for five episodes.
But that is the end of this episode. I liked this episode.
It was
interesting. I loved the ending. I'm so fucking pumped for next episode. I loved it.
Yeah, I thought it was really good. Like I said before, I just got a little tired with Tom and Lynette's storyline.
Yeah, same.
But I liked it.
Oh, yes. And we have been Wisteria Gaze.
We don't have a lesbian of the episode.
Fuck, you're right. Who are you? Who are you drawn to? I think our nominees are Susan's abs and V and body.
The picture of Gabby
where we only see the head of, and there was a third lesbian episode.
The woman in jail with Brie.
Yes. Who are you drawn to?
Susan's abs.
I do too.
I like the idea of building a lesbian.
Yeah, let's do, okay, Susan's abs. I also love her belly button ring makes another appearance.
Yeah,
it's great. Her V, lesbian of the episode.
Hell yeah.
And now with that, we have been Wisteria Gaze.
Yes.
If you'd like to find us on social media, you can find us on Twitter at Wisteria Gaze or on Instagram at Wisteria Gaze _ or on our website, WisteriaGaze.com.
Yes. And on that website, we have some really great links to our merch page. I recently lost my Fairview High Abstinence Club shirt. I don't know where it is.
Oh, no.
It's either in my closet somewhere or somebody took it.
Somebody stole that shirt. I only have our old name logo. Yes. I need to get a Wisteria Gaze logo shirt. I can't believe we're gonna buy our own merch.
I can, because we already have.
Drag me, why don't you? But guess what? You should buy our merch too if you love the podcast. It's a great way to show that you like this podcast.
Yes. And if you want to support the show even further, you should check out our Patreon. It's patreon.com/WisteriaGaze. You get access to things like our show notes. This episode for show notes, personally, I did some feral things.
Oh, thank
that
God.
I did not talk about in this episode. So if you're one of our patrons, go check out our show notes.
Yeah, and ad-free episodes as well as video postcards. And hey, maybe we'll do some bloopers because sometimes we got some dumb crap we have to cut out and it could be fun. So a lot of fun stuff going on our Patreon. And you also get
a shout out
if you're one of our patrons,
which we're going to do right now.
I want to shout out AJ,
Alan,
Annie,
Cheryl,
Elise,
Helena,
Lisa,
Liv,
Nadia,
Rebecca,
Tom.
Thank you so much for being our patrons.
It means the world.
It really does. I love reviews.
Holy shit.
I'm just fucking getting into it today.
Oh, whoa.
I'm being back. I'm moody, remember?
Oh, yeah, you're a moody teen.
I didn't forget.
You're a moody teen.
And at the end of every episode, we like to ask a question to you just to get those review juices flowing. If you need some help writing down.
Yeah.
This week, I think our question should be,
what crossover event would you like to see Desperate Housewives do?
I like that. It gets us into the mood.
Yeah, we talked about a Grey's Anatomy crossover.
Okay.
Would have been iconic.
What's your crossover?
First thing comes to my mind, the L word.
That's too much. That's too much for me to handle.
It's too much energy. Imagine Ida Greenberg and Shane McCutcheon.
Fucking.
Yeah. What's your crossover?
The first one that came to my mind is just Star Wars. Oh. A Desperate Housewives Star Wars.
Like
crossover.
The ladies go to Naboo or something.
Yeah, like Susan Meyer is the last Jedi.
Who's a Jedi? Is Susan a Jedi?
I think Julie's a Jedi. I don't know about
Julie
Susan.
Is the chosen one. She was supposed to restore balance to the Force.
Yeah, on Naboo.
On Naboo. That's the only like land in Star Wars I can think of is Naboo. That would be an incredible crossover. So when you write your review, if you want to, let us know what your dream Desperate Housewives crossover event would be.
Yeah. Other than that, you can find me, Liz, on any form of social media at The Pigeon Wizard.
You can find me, Mackenzie, at Mackenzie Wilkes.
Mackenzie, I love you.
Holy fuck.
I guess.
I love you, I know.
Everyone else, stay juicy.
Stay freaking juicy.